Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of Young Hollywood Actors and the Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on the Hometown to Hollywood podcast is Taylor Bright. Taylor is a talent manager with Stagecoach Entertainment in Los Angeles. Prior to becoming a manager, she worked in casting offices at Bullock & Snow Casting and on projects for Disney, Nickelodeon, MTV, and CW. Taylor, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for providing this amazing resource for young actors and their parents.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. You told me at the very beginning, before we started taping, that you've been listening to the podcast.
I have, and funnily enough, my boyfriend and I, long before I knew you, went to Aruba in 2018, and we made a list of goals for that year, and one of my goals was to do your podcast.
That's amazing!
And here we are.
And here we
are. Like, about 2 years later.
Good job manifesting that.
Manifesting, right? Sometimes you just got to put it out there.
That actually just really makes me happy.
I almost brought it for you because it's in a frame on my desk of, like, these are the things that I want to do. And, you know, this is really exciting for me.
Well, it's really exciting for me, too. And you just made my day.
Oh, so thank you.
What a great way to start out the conversation. So how did you get your start as a talent manager?
So I've been in this business a lot longer than I probably care to admit. I started acting at 4 years old in Chicago. I wandered onto a stage and just started singing in preschool. And my mom was like, I don't know what to do now. What do I do?
Oh.
And a friend in Chicago kind of pointed us into modeling, which then turned into commercial acting because, you know, in the 90s, the commercial business was in Chicago. And from there, I auditioned for TV and film and did a lot of theater, and over time realized that this isn't exactly what I want to do. And also realized that that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay.
Yeah, and that there's so many jobs in this industry that I had no idea about as a child. And so I started working at a management company at 19 as an assistant, as many of us do in this town started, and learned and expressed some interest to them while I was there that I'd like to get into casting. Because, you know, as a young actor, casting's kind of like Oz's velvet curtain. Like, what goes on behind that door?
Yep.
What do they talk about when I leave? Like, are they talking about me? Like, are they talking? And in fact, they're talking about 100 things and just walk out the door and it's okay. But they helped me get my first internship in casting, and I got to watch so many amazing auditions, and I got to work with some amazing people. And we did pilots, and we did an episodic for MTV, and we did horror movies, which watching actors throw it all out there in horror is just incredible. And, you know, we would, like, bang on the table to help them with the effects, and they'd be, like, writhing on the floor, and then they'd get up, and it was great. And from there, I got the opportunity to work with Krisha Bullock and Jamie Snow, who are the most amazing people, and Jasmine Gutierrez, who was the other assistant while I was there. And we had the best time, and we auditioned so many amazing actors. And as my time on the show was coming to an end and we were wrapping, I was like, I don't know what to do. Casting's freelance.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought about my experience as a young actor, and I thought about being an assistant and how I kind of liked management and I liked talking to clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved casting, but I didn't see myself being a casting director. So I contacted a management company that we had hired a lot of actors from, and they hired me to be a junior manager. And that's kind of how I got my start. And I was able to start signing clients right away, which is really exciting as a young person in this business to be given the trust to go out and do that. And I had a lot of success. In my book, that first year, we had a lot of tests. We had a lot of great bookings, and we've just continued on from there.
That's exciting. That's a good story.
Yeah.
And I like one of the things that kind of is between the lines of your story, which is that you started out as an actor, as a performer, as talent, and fell in love with the industry, but then at some point realized that wasn't necessarily the piece of the industry that would make you the happiest.
Yes. And coming to terms with that was kind of a hard thing, you know, especially when you spend so many years like, this is who I am, this is what I do. And taking a moment to step back and be like, this isn't the thing that brings me the most joy. And that's okay. That took a minute. You know, I kind of waffled back and forth, and I kind of kept acting longer than I would care to admit, I think, because I was kind of giving it up. Mm-hmm. And I had, it wasn't like one day I was like, I'm not acting anymore. It was over time I realized that this isn't quite what makes me the happiest in the world. And it wasn't quite the thing I wanted to do more than anything. And to be quite honest, to be a successful actor, it has to be the thing that you want more than anything in the world.
It has. And there's a reason that everybody says that.
Yeah.
It's because it's just true.
Yes, it is.
And I'm just going to say it again, you know, time 500 probably on this podcast. Like, if there is something else that you can see yourself doing and being happy doing, then you should do that other thing.
You should.
And this is so hard.
And also remember that there are hundreds of jobs in the industry. You can work in development. You can be a gaffer. You can be a grip. You can be a set decorator. You can be a script supervisor, a costume assistant, or a costume designer. There are so many things.
You can build sets. You can design sets. You can do, you know, props. Props is its own fascinating world.
It's incredible. You know, I have a lot of friends who are prop masters or set decorators. And first of all, you walk into their houses and you're like, oh my goodness, this is
amazing. Yeah.
But it's such a cool job. And every single job on set is just as important.
And when you're in your living room watching a screen or in a movie theater watching a screen, you see what you see is like the tip of the iceberg. But the whole iceberg is necessary for you to see anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to take a moment and touch on how grateful I am to have had parents that supported me throughout my acting career, but also when I came to terms and decided I didn't want to act anymore. Because, you know, they were just as in it as I was. And my mom is the best mom ever. And I'm not just saying that. She's my champion. She is the one I call every day and share my successes with. But when I decided I didn't want to act anymore, she supported me in that completely. And that was really special to me. And that was one of the things that allowed me to kind of really decide that it wasn't what I wanted to do, was having that support.
That's huge. I talk about that with a lot of the parents that I consult with or I do workshops with. And while there is no such thing as a successful young actor without a profoundly supportive parent, at least one, maybe two, equally true is that, you know, what supportive parenting really means is also being supportive if the young actor decides that that's not the direction they want to go anymore.
Yes.
'Cause who we are really is we are humans who maybe act, if that's what we do. But it's really important to keep that distinction in terms of your identity so that you don't fall apart if you decide to change direction and you don't not know who you are.
Right. And also encouraging your kids to do things like writing and playing sports and hanging out with their friends. Those things are equally as important as encouraging their acting careers.
Yeah. Quality of life. And if you want to be cynical about it, you can say, hey, you know, your acting opportunities will only be better if you also have other skills.
That is fair and true.
It is true. So it's a cynical way to look at it, but a better way to look at it is like, gosh, this is your life. And you should have a chance, especially if you're a young person, exploring the world, exploring yourself, to explore as much as possible, which includes other areas of interest besides the sort of classic triple threat stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think your background in casting affects your work as a manager? And if you think that, how?
It affects almost everything I do. The joke I always make is I don't call casting from 1 to 2 because they deserve their lunch break as much as the rest of us. And, you know, they work so hard. They usually eat lunch at their desks. And if the phone rings, they'll pick it up. Please don't call them at 1. Please. Like,
they won't get lunch.
They don't get lunch. But also, I got to watch so many incredible auditions in my time in casting for so many different kinds of roles that I really saw what worked. I really saw what didn't work. And so now I can watch self-tapes with that eye and really give my clients honest feedback. And to be honest, a lot of the times I'm parroting things I've heard Krisha say.
That's okay.
But they're good notes. And I think it's important to be able to watch your clients' tapes and be honest with them. You know, if a tape isn't up to par, my clients know, and they redo it. And we never send a tape that we don't think is exceptional. Because coming from the casting side, if you're self-taping, you can do it as many times as you want. So why isn't it perfect?
No, I mean, that's the thing about the self-tapes. It's just really no excuse for turning in a tape that you don't feel really good about.
Right. And it doesn't have to be perfect.
No.
Because there is no such thing as perfect, but it should be what you feel your best tape is.
Yeah,
there is nothing more that you could have done. Because, you know, when you go into an audition room, there's so many factors. There's maybe you didn't click with the reader, or there was a distraction, or it just wasn't your best read. And you only really get one. And you can ask for another one if you need it. But make sure it's a need, not a want.
Yeah.
That's something Krisha says. I take no credit.
It's good, though.
But it's true. You know, if you really need another take in an audition, take it. But make sure you need it. But in a self-tape, you can do it 100 times. So do it 100 times.
Well, and that's the other thing is, like, whoever's watching that self-tape has the expectation and understanding that you had more than one crack at it.
Exactly. They know.
So, yeah. So they're expecting that whatever you've sent them is your best effort.
Exactly.
Hi. With the entertainment industry changing every day, I'm continuing to work to be a source of inspiration and information in your life. As it's been for 5 seasons and over 120 episodes, the Hometown to Hollywood podcast will be there for you. Now, I'm asking you to be there for us. The podcast has been a labor of love for years, and now I'm asking if Hometown to Hollywood's been a friend to you, if it's helped, educated, and inspired you, please become a supporter of the podcast. For only $5 a month, the price of a latte, you can become a friend of the podcast and help me afford to continue to do the work that you've come to depend on for honest, insightful interviews that shed light on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. If you can afford it, pitch in $10 a month and become a good friend of the podcast. Your support helps supplement the people who can only give $5 a month. Join now. Just go to hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. That's hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. And in just 2 clicks, you can have access to the complete version of this incredibly informative conversation, as well as each upcoming episode and the entire collection of over 120 past episodes. If you can't afford $5 a month to subscribe, the first 10 minutes of every episode will still be available for free. Subscribers get the full episodes delivered right to their inbox. Thank you. I appreciate your support, and I can't wait to share the exciting upcoming conversations with you. Meanwhile, if you could use some one-on-one coaching, invest in a video consultation session with me. Just go to hometowntohollywood.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.